Welcome to a special two-part series for Alumni Live, the podcast about the history of the film and video major at Grand Valley State University. If you want to see a video of this episode, complete with archive photos and videos, look for the link in the description. In part one, we talked about the early years of the arts and media major at William James College, which was part of Grand Valley State Colleges. In part two, we'll talk about the transformation from arts and media to the film and video production major at Grand Valley State University's School of Communications and eventually the Department of Visual and Media Arts. We'll also hear about the summer film project, the lip dub, and group experiences like bonding over late night edits or 12-hour film shoots. Join the conversation as former faculty member John Philbin talks about the origin of the fall and winter showcases.
The showcases. Originally, they just showed their final films in final exam day in class. And then we said, you know what, let's get them all together and do it in a public venue and invite all the actors and family and everybody. And I remember first we had just a once a year showcase, and then there was just too many films. And so we had, now let's have one every semester. There's still too many films, you know. And then we said, well, let's have one each season. We'll have a fall, a winter, and a spring showcase. And the winter showcase, we made it a little different because we opened it to all class levels, freshman through senior, and we had awards and all that kind of thing. You know, it was just a great way to get everybody together. You know, everybody sees each other in class, but it's a real celebratory event. And it's also great as a filmmaker to have outsiders come and watch your work and laugh in the right place and applaud and so on. That exhibition part of the process is important. Everyone focuses on the writing and the production and the editing, but then you got to show it and get together with your fellow filmmakers.
Former faculty member Tony Perrine talks about the need to showcase film studies work.
I do want to just mention too that we've had a lot of successful students, obviously a lot of successful student work working through a lot of different media, and that includes film and video and audio and writing and also film studies. And so we started doing showcases of student work. Well, we always did it in various ways, but became more formalized starting in the 90s. And part of that was premiering the summer film, which my colleague John Olin will be talking about in a minute. But some of it was to provide an audience for the work that students produced in a kind of more formal setting. So we would have a big auditorium, invite families, friends, of course, cast and crew members to come. These showcases became kind of a big part of the end of each semester. But what the showcases didn't provide was a place for all of the history, theory, criticism type work, the film studies part of the curriculum. And so about 10 years ago, it was actually a group of students who had the idea of starting a student-run film journal. And that eventually, after like a semester or so of planning, became Synesthesia, which has now been publishing for about 10 years. And I just wanted to share a couple of statistics. Volume one was published in 2013. We've published about 20 issues since then, a total of 86 papers. There have been 95,000 downloads of papers published in Synesthesia around the world. So that's one thing that's really cool, that students have the ability to share their written scholarly critical work with not just the Grand Valley audience, but also interested people around the world. So if you get a chance, go to that website and take a look at all the places where these papers have been downloaded or appreciated. And not only are scholarly work included, but also artwork and photography. So it's been a nice venue for publishing the film studies part of the program that complements nicely their showcases of the students' production work.
The Summer Film Project is a treasured experience for the program. Alumni and former faculty member Gerb Eefsting talks about the origin of the project.
We'll get back to the beginning, the origins. You know, I was asked to teach the film classes, which was 16-1 and 16-2. And so I started that with the 16-1 class, and that's the basics, how to run a Bolex. But, you know, I just was feeling a lot of energy for this opportunity for me to talk to young people, to teach them about filmmaking. And they got this sense of momentum. So the same students would end up taking 16-2. So we already felt like a community, a tribe, And one of the students, I think it might have been a student named Bill Gerhardt, who's now very successful as a director in Los Angeles. He works a lot on AMC series, but he had a script called Seizure, and it was an interesting story. And so we combined our resources as a class and spent the semester making this film in 16 millimeter. And then we actually had a premiere event at Studio 28. And so all very successful, huge turnout, just the energy was fantastic. The second year kind of followed the same thing, but this time we had a student, Julian Boyance, who had a script called To Overlook Beauty, which was a narrative fiction, but it was about teenage suicide. We did that then as 16-2, premiered it for two nights at, I think, once in Studio 28 and once in Muskegon. And then the third year, what we did to create it, to up the ante, so to speak, was we shot in Super 16. And Super 16 is a format that came around to kind of, it's the same aspect ratio as HDTV, and it lends itself well to blowing up your final product to 35 millimeter film, which at that time, 35 millimeter film was the standard projection format. Our previous 2 years, we would bring in a 16 millimeter projector into this movie theater and project, you know, our 16 millimeter film. Of course, it didn't match what the, you know, patrons would usually see at the theater. So this idea was, now let's bring a 35 millimeter print. So this was all about a comedy called Life Yucks, and the students each got to do a little comedy segment. And we ended up with a 35 millimeter print. I think we might have even had four nights of screening. And so that just, every year we seem to do something a little bit more. You know, I have to mention this incredible support from the School of Communications faculty, and one person in particular, Alex Nestorenko. He was the director of the School of Comm, and he really supported what we were doing and continued it. So then that conversation says, what could we do beyond that? And that was how the summer film program got to. So instead of one semester, why not the whole summer? So that's how we developed it. And the other part that really, you know, put a lot of energy into it was this idea of bringing in guests, either, you know, film people, lectures. But we contacted, you know, I saw an ad in the American Cinematographer for this Fuji film, and it was this woman, Irish, 5'2", red haired. Her name was Brianne Murphy, and she was the first woman to ever become a member of the American Society of Cinematographers. And this is a huge deal. The American Society of Cinematographers, the most prestigious organization that you can become a member of, has 100 members, only opens up if somebody dies. It takes two other members to nominate you. Brianne had been the DP on all of the Little House on the Prairie TV series with Michael Landon. So Brianne agreed to become sort of a mentor to the summer film program with her connections in Hollywood. She also asked if she could bring her sister, who was a script supervisor for 30 years. Her name is Jillian Murphy. And that Hollywood connection made a lot of things happen, which also then connected us to Panavision, who had a new program called the New Filmmaker Program. And it was the second year, the first year they had given a Panavision package to U of M. The camera package is free, but you have to insure the camera package, which is about 10 cases of equipment, and it had to be insured for $1 million. The first year that U of M had it, they said they have to stay in this room, but Grand Valley put up the money, they put up the insurance. And so we had this 10 cases of Panavision equipment, and we had a great time making this film. The program was so successful that Grand Valley said, we need a full-time tenured faculty person to run this program. And I didn't qualify because of a lack of advanced degrees. So I had to sort of step out of the way. And that's how eventually John came to be in charge of that program. And I think he's done a fantastic job right from the beginning.
I guess I would just go back and say, you can't tell the story of Grand Valley without talking about the growth. When I started, there was maybe 12,000 total students. And when I left, there was close to 30,000. every fall I would drive into the campus, there'd be a new building, and I would be like, what is that? Where did that come from? I remember when I came, as Tony said, I came to Grand Valley, and I actually pitched the idea of a summer film project in Southern Illinois. And they were like, well, it's a cool idea, but we can't afford to do that. And then I came up and they said, hey, we have a thing called the Summer Film Project here. And I was like, that's a great idea, which Gerb was the guy who launched the first one. Year after year, it just got bigger. It's this intensive program where it's like boot camp. I mean, you're on set for, you know, sometimes 5 days, sometimes, you know, 12 days, 10, 12 hours a day. And you're really, you know, learning as close as you can get to what it's going to be like in film production if you get a career in that. As it grew, we started bringing Hollywood DP Jack Anderson, and he brought the Panaflex Super 16 along. We started to bring in Hollywood actors, James Karen, Pauly Perrette from NCIS, and so on. The screenwriting got better. The actors got better. The crews got bigger. And the other thing about 20 years at Grand Valley is the technology keeps changing. You know, I started, we shot in media production classes on VHS and then SVHS and then mini DV and the Betacam, and now it's all tapeless. And the summer film finally a few years ago switched from film to the Red camera and the Arri Alexa and so on and so on. So we've followed along with the digital revolution in terms of the production aspects of it. Part of the thing that kept me doing it, and I think I directed 12 of the 25 summer films, was because students you'd watch them just change over the course of the production into becoming professionals. And many of them told me, you know, I learned so much. That kind of feedback just makes you want to keep doing it. And it's always different one summer to the next, because a comedy is different than a drama, different than a family movie. You know, they're all different stories. So they have different elements, different locations, different characters. So it was a lot of fun, a lot of work, a lot of long days, but I enjoyed it.
Alumni Greg McNeil shared his experiences working on multiple summer film projects.
One of the things that I really treasure in my memories of going to Grand Valley was my work on the several summer film projects that we worked on. It was always a very intense, very frenetic thing to do. We were all taking our summers and just doing this project. And the first one I worked on was an anthology film where we all wrote scripts and we all did different jobs in each of these scripts. And then at the end, we had like an assemblage film. And that was really great. And then the next one we had a partnership with Panavision, and they brought in a big 35 millimeter camera, and a lady named Kelly Simpson came in and shepherded us through that. And that was an amazing, amazing experience. That's where I learned to be a camera assistant. And I learned to be a camera assistant because coming into the program midstream as I did, I knew I wasn't going to be a DP or a director. So Gerb gave me a copy of the camera operator's manual, and I went home and I read it and got through it. And I was like, oh, camera assistant, they get to play with all the toys. I'll do that. And so I had Kelly Simpson from Panavision, who had been a camera assistant on the X-Files and the Commish and all these other shows that were in Vancouver. And she taught me to be a camera assistant, which I started to do professionally after I left Grand Valley. But then the first summer film project, the next year, we shot that on the 16 millimeter Panavision, and I DP'd that. And we had a partnership with Columbia in LA, and Brianne Murphy came over and helped us with that. And she tutored me personally and took me back to LA with her. And that was an amazing experience. It's a brilliant program. And it's one of the foundations of what really helped me to understand exactly what it takes to make a film. It's one of my favorite things I've ever done.
Creating a film demands long hours, creative problem solving, and a lot of collaboration. Alumni Katie Dean shares her experiences working on a senior thesis project.
One of my favorite memories from Grand Valley's film program was actually working on a peer's senior thesis. We were a big crew that got together to help out on this big project, and it really felt like we were just part of a real film crew without any supervision, kind of different from the summer film. We had all done the summer film before, so we kind of knew what we were doing, and we were all able to just feel like this is the real deal now, you know, and we had so much fun. I remember shooting in the middle of the night and in a graveyard and then at a grocery store in the middle of the night, like lots of night shoot. But it was just so much fun. And the product ended up being great. And we all were really, really proud of it.
When Kiri Quackenbush was a senior, she had the idea to create a campus-wide Student Academy Awards event that included an entertainment-filled awards ceremony.
I would have to say that my absolute favorite memory that I can think of just off the top of my head when I was a student is Gil, GMC Beauchaux, actually showed up to be the host of the Grand Valley Film Academy Awards. I invited him because I was a fan and I think that he's hilarious on YouTube. And I invited him and he actually showed up to host the event. And he was in this huge, like, egg-shaped cape with feathers all over it, and he was so funny, and he like flew in singing his song. He was just a total clown, but he was actually really chill and fancy hosting the entire event. I won't forget that. It's really cool to have a connection with such a popular and really cool YouTuber and just a great person all around.
Randy Strobel recalls the passion and camaraderie at the first student-run television station on campus, GVBN, later named GVTV.
The office that we were in at one time, there was really just one editing bay. And so as people would line up to edit their shows, there was really just a fun atmosphere and people joking and watching content and making suggestions. And, you know, it was a club in the way that we were all there having fun, but it was also a club in that we were all there pushing each other's art to the next level. When we would have our meetings, it was all about watching the content, making suggestions. We all cared so much to what we were putting on Channel 10 at the time, making sure that if a student turned on that TV to Channel 10, they would see something that might hook them. Of course, there were disagreements and political struggles, but all of that was because we cared so much about the direction of that organization. We understood that it was still brand new and we were creating something that hopefully would last for a long time at Grand Valley. And I remember at one time I told somebody that I don't need to join a fraternity because I have my own letters, and those are GVTV.
Stephanie Coriatis talks about how important her time at GVTV was to her time at Grand Valley.
I was an active member of Grand Valley Television for all 4 years. I was an active e-board member for 3 years of my time. And it's hard to describe it as a professional experience because we had so much fun with it. We had such a blast, but it was a professional show for us, for all of us involved with GVTV. We were very dedicated to making content. We worked on news shows all together. It's where I met all of my best friends and my closest collaborators. I still am very close with the people that I met and became friends with through GVTV, and we still make work together. I think, though, to me, what was the most special experience about having a group like GVTV, though, was the opportunity to play and to learn that is outside of class. I will give a little shout out to Randy, who's behind the scenes pressing the buttons right now. He was one of the first persons that I worked with on a new show that we worked on together. And he said, "Hey, have you used a microphone before? Have you plugged it into an XLR cable?" And I said, "No, can you show me?" And he showed me. And that's how I would describe the whole experience, is that you have this opportunity to learn from each other and from people who have different levels of experience. It was a safe place to go where if you wanted to try something out and just explore, that's where you could go. But of course, you know, there were a lot of different shows that we made, a lot of events we hosted, we did lives, really for life, live streams. It was something that I have very much held on to for very many years. I'm actually very pleased to hear that it's still going and that students are still having the opportunity to learn and to make things with each other. I love it.
Sometimes it's the demanding, intense work of production that informs students that they are in the right place doing the right work. Grayson Barris talks about having that experience during his freshman year.
One of my favorite experiences from the film video program was for my first semester freshman year. I had two video courses and I had two projects going on at the same time. One of them was a stop motion animation project that I found myself working on in the basement of Lake Superior Hall till late, well, early in the morning. And then I had to wake up early and go shoot a documentary at a zoo about where they keep the animals in the wintertime. It was a ton of work, but just being able to get my hands dirty and work on all these different things, it just got me really excited and looking forward to what life would bring.
For Mary Graff Ashley, it was the culture of supportive people and the access to equipment that was important.
I really appreciated the Grand Valley film program for many reasons. One of them was that we had so much access to equipment, instructors who cared, colleagues, students, everyone willing to help out. I had heard later on that people who went to Michigan State or U of M or even UCLA had issues getting access to equipment or all the facilities that we had for filmmaking resources. So I really appreciated learning that I had gone to the right place, in addition to all the great instruction I got.
Kelly Laughlin talks about her experience in the Fiction 1 class.
One of my favorite things I did while I was attending was for the Fiction 1 class, I got to build my own Russian spaceship in the bottom of the Kirchhoff studio. And we were doing that for the project that I was chosen to have be one of the group projects in the class. So I wrote my script and we were able to have a student's budget and we were able to recreate what we could. And it was so helpful to have the experience just building something from scratch. And I ended up transferring those skills over to some freelance art department jobs that I now hold in Los Angeles. So I am very thankful for having the opportunity at Grand Valley while I was still a student.
The host of this conversation, Tim Sunt, shares his experience with long hours in the editing suites in the basement of Lake Superior Hall.
One thing that I recalled back when I was going to William James to Grand Valley in my day was I had friends who were in a similar program at Michigan State, and they were talking about how they had to sign up for an hour of edit time. My first response is, you can't do anything in an hour, especially when you're first starting out. This is a time-intensive undertaking, no matter what you're doing. I mean, I've lost hours in editing time. So I want to talk about that, both from Greg and Stephanie, about what kind of bond brings up, because you do spend some really intense times in sometimes very enclosed spaces or in a basement editing suite or someplace else with the students, but it really, it solidifies your community, but also prepares you for working out in the real world. So I'm going to start with Greg. What can you recall about that time and how does it impact what you do now?
Yeah, you do tend to spend a lot of intense time with people. And one of the things I remember is we were editing this film and it was inspired by Apocalypse Now. And what we ended up doing was we were editing all night doing double system 16 mil. And we had to take a break at some point and we just kind of got lost in the edit. And so we went out from the edit room into one of the auditoriums and we put in a laser disc of Apocalypse Now and sat in the auditorium with that at full volume. And we watched Apocalypse Now. And it was one of those experiences that you don't get to have very often. And it was really fantastic. And being able to come back to an edit after something like that was really great.
Stephanie, how about some of your times?
Yeah, I will actually also echo a great experience that I couldn't even tell you how many times we like snuck into the Lake Superior lecture halls and would project what we thought was our final cut on it. And then we'd realize something was messed up and we had to export it. But there was something about being in those edit suites at 3 a.m. with everybody else there too. Like, I can't even describe that feeling. I think one of my fondest memories, I don't don't know if fond is the right word, actually, but one of my memories of one of the most sleepless nights that I've ever had was the week before the thesis presentations. And I had been working on the editing, on the sound, on everything. And a group of us got together and said, let's finish this movie. I'll take the color. I'll do the mix. I'll do this. And we were all in different parts of campus. Someone was in Kirchhoff in the audio booth. Someone was in Lake Superior in the basement. Someone was at home taking on a different aspect of it. And so it was this huge collaboration effort. And I slept in Lake Superior for 5 nights in a row because we had to get this project finished. And I forget who it was. I want to say it might have been Deb in the film office. I was sleeping on one of those, just a couch. There was this little lounge and I was sleeping on the couch and it was like 7 a.m. And I hear like a little tap on the glass and I had only gotten like a 2-hour nap at that point. And I was like, oh my gosh, where am I? Okay, I'm still in Lake Superior. Is the movie done? No, did I dream this? And also, I mean, something about sleeping on the audio booth floor too, finding some fallen pieces of audio foam that you turn into a mattress and decide to just, you know, take a little group nap together while you're in the middle of filming. So I think there's something about the, it is an unbreakable bond. There is no way that after these experiences that you have making these projects together that you can ever be unfused. So it is something that I, again, like I look back fondly now. In the moment, I wish like it would have been nice to eat, would have been nice to have some sleep, but you're in film school. This is what you have. So yeah, one of, again, fondest memories.
We're taking a short break to tell you about the Dirk Koenig Memorial Film and Video Scholarship. Here's Gretchen Vinich remembering Dirk Koenig.
The Koenig Scholarship enables students to get that kind of an education, to be a good filmmaker, to be able to express their voice, and to continue Dirk's dream.
For more information and to donate to the scholarship, visit the link in the description. Now back to the show.
So a piece of Grand Valley's film history from 2010 was the Grand Valley Lip Dub. And that was, of course, directed by Greg Court, who graduated in 2011. Hey, Greg.
Hi, nice to see you guys.
And produced in a lot of ways by Kim Roberts, who was a faculty then and, of course, is a professor now. So first of all, what is a lip dub and what was going on at the time and how did we get involved with that?
Well, I guess first I'll start with saying that the co-director and co-producer of it as well was a buddy of at the time, Chris Coleman. And he actually showed me a lip dub for the first time. I think it was maybe in the spring of 2010. I think it was Kelvin College's. Kelvin College did a lip dub and it was pretty good.
Was it? I was thinking it was Hope, but you might be right.
They might have had one too, because it was a trend at the time. A lot of people were doing them. But I think it was Kelvin's. But regardless, it was another local college. And it did a pretty good job. But we kind of saw it and we're like, we could do this. We could do a better one. And I think we got the ball rolling that end of that school year in the spring. And we kind of planted the seed at some point in Kim's head. And she was fully supportive of our crazy, ambitious ideas. And over the course of that summer, we started lining things up. We got permission from the president at the time, President T. Haas. And we just started lining up the logistics for a fall shoot. I think we shot it early October or late September of 2010.
Now, the idea with the lip dub is, and I'll let Greg talk more about this, but it really had to be one shot, one continuous shot, could not be edited visually. The video could not be edited, but the audio could be. So you could dub in some audio, but you had to lip sync it in one shot.
Yep. That was the challenge and the fun of it. It's kind of funny looking at it from today because it's kind of a predecessor to all this TikTok stuff. I mean, those are essentially glorify lip dub videos, you know, but they were fun though. And I think what we tried to do with Grand Valley's was, and we could talk about how we started to come up with some of the things, but you know, longer, the better, right? The more impressive is how long you can do it without cutting.
And what song was that? And how did you end up picking that song to represent, you know, the whole school?
I think we were watching Freaks and Geeks, the show, the Judd Apatow show, Freaks and Geeks. I think it's the first episode or one of the early episodes. They go to the prom or the homecoming and they dance to Come Sail Away. And it's a really funny scene. I think that was the inspiration. Like, oh my God, this song's kind of perfect. It's long. It's everyone kind of knows it. It's easy to sing. It'd be easy for performers to get the lyrics quickly. And then the whole sailing and Lakers and, you know, it just fit Grand Valley so well. So once we heard that song and it popped in our heads, it just made sense.
And all of this logistics and production all ended up paying off. This became national news. What were people saying? And, you know, what did that even feel like to have that blow up like that?
Well, it was crazy. I do remember we were up late getting the video ready, and me and Chris's naiveness, we just went ahead and posted the video without getting it approved by Kim and everyone else that probably needed to see it. And I remember we posted it and we went to sleep, and I woke up to like a million messages of people saying it looked awesome. But Kim was also like, we got to take this down. Because we didn't have any, I don't think we had a thank you credits we didn't put on it at the time. So we ended up having to take it down originally and re-put some credits on there as we should have. And we reposted it. So it lost a little bit of momentum, but eventually it caught steam again. Yeah, it got a lot of at least local press and some international. And it was crazy. People were impressed by it. I think we had a couple of little interviews about it. And I ultimately ended up getting a job offer over it. So I'll take it.
Oh my God, yeah. And then the graduation books that they have, where they have a timeline of all the cool things of Grand Valley's history, the Lip Dub is on that timeline.
Oh, cool. That's really sweet.
Mm-hmm. So still having an effect today and certainly part of Grand Valley history. So thanks for talking about this.
Yeah, thank you, Randy.
Yeah, appreciate the little mini reunion. It's good to see you guys.
One of the benefits of being around long enough and having all this evolution go through is that in 2015, we had a reunion, pulled together a lot of the folks who had been involved in the program. And it was great on my stand. I got to meet, you know, catch up with people I hadn't seen in a long time, but also meet some of the faculty and students I hadn't had a chance to know. So it was a great chance to see what people are doing and hear how the program was developing. And just was a great community event. Again, it's that network, the community that's been put together, that really was a great party. Anybody else want to jump in with their thoughts about the event?
I think Greg gets the award for the longest commute, right? You came from Scotland. Yeah.
It was a great event. Of course, a lot of planning went into it. Again, a shout out to Suzanne Zach for doing a phenomenal amount of work. And then simultaneously starting the alumni chapter that same year. So really putting more energy and resources into formalizing some of these connections that we've been talking about with the reunion and then also the alumni chapter, of which this is a production. But just seeing all the people there from all the different generations, and it was a great party. We had lots of fun things happening that night, lots of video coverage of it. It was very well documented. I'm not sure when we'll do another one, but it was definitely a wonderful and worthwhile and very fun event.
One funny story from the reunion where I saw Don Stearns, one of our alum, give Jim Schaub a $100 bill. And I was like going, what's going on here, guys? And Jim, back when Don was a student and he was dating Amy, said, I'll bet you $100 you two are going to get married. And now was whatever, many years later, and Don came up and went, here's your $100.
They were married.
That was fun.
Well, he probably paid it off with a smile then, so it wasn't like he lost anything, really. As the evolution of the program goes and evolution in Grand Valley goes, can you talk about that? I would imagine that Tony and John probably the most to shed light on that, but how does that come around and where does it go?
Yeah, what Tony was saying earlier, we have, you know, film video has had so many great faculty, and that's not always how it is. I've been told from other professors at other universities that sometimes there's infighting or there's tension, and we always just had the best luck, not only with the full-time people, but with all the visitors. So I just want to say that, and that's one of my best memories of Grand Valley, is just getting along so well with the faculty, like a family. But when the VMA thing, they decided to break up the school comm, I guess it was getting too big, and they put theater off with music and dance, and they put film and video production and photography with art and design, and then they renamed it the Department of Visual and Media Arts. And that's sort of where it's at now, and they're still trying to sort out. Film video brought, I think, like 300 majors into the program. So it was a big change for art and design. And I think they're still figuring out the best way to make it all work and be cohesive and so on. I don't know. Tony wants to add to that. But...
Yeah, I don't know that I have much more to add, except that it is still a work in progress, I would say. There's some growing pains happening there, and the pandemic hasn't helped anything in that regard, just in terms of this transition. But a lot of positive energy on the part of the faculty. Hopefully they will make an even stronger program than what has evolved over the years up till now. I would say that in terms of the growth, so kind of getting back to what John was saying, was like, we've had such a fabulous experience with our faculty members, with our colleagues, that I really think is a rare thing, that we really love one another. And we've been so fortunate that way to have people to work with that we really, really admire and have fun with and enjoy being with. And we disagree and we fight, but it's all to make the program better. And we've had that kind of, you know, extraordinary, I would say, kind of relationship over the whole time that I was there. And so I'm hoping that going into the future that will continue. And we'll see how it evolves going from here, because we've left the younger generation now to work on some of the changes and the challenges, which are striking, or even they're hitting the university in general, and not just Grand Valley, but all around the country. But it's been a great experience in terms of my 30 years.
Well, I think we are collectively just a representative group of a lot of people out there who look back on the film and video program and our days with a lot of pride and just great memories and a lot of faith that the program will go forward and surprise us in new ways. Is there anybody else who wants to add a closing thought before we sign off?
I'd just like to say that my time at Grand Valley was some of the most formative parts of my education, and that I was incredibly close with all of my instructors and all of the students that I either worked with as a teacher assistant or as a maker and collaborator. And I'm really proud to have been a part of this program.
Alumni Michael Petrowski talks about the enduring impact of his time as a film and video major at Grand Valley.
I have a lot of fond memories from there, from the great teachers, Tony, Barb, Deanna, Gerb, Scott. They were all awesome teachers. They taught me what I need to know now for what I do on the sound mixer, prepping for Michael Bay's new movie starting up here next week. And I wouldn't be here where I am today without all those guys. And I bump into people, my classmates too. I mean, your classmates are a huge part of it. I bump into people that I went to school with out here. Chris Bangma and I see each other on film sets for the past 20 years out here.
I am such a proud alumni. I was actually getting chills watching some of the clips that you were sharing on screen. And Laker for life. That's all I'll say, is that I'm a Laker for a lifetime.
John?
I had a great experience. When I came to Grand Valley, I don't think I necessarily thought I would spend my entire career there. I figured I'll do a few years here and maybe see what else is out there. And I just it's a great fit, and the students were great. And as Tony says, I'm still watching how it will evolve in the new department, but I'm watching from home instead of from my office. I had a blast.
Well, great. I want to thank everybody for the time you've put in today. Thank you for your thoughts as just one more session in the ongoing conversation. Thanks again.
Thank you, Tim. Love you, Greg.
Love everybody.
Bye, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for this special two-part series of Alumni Live, the podcast about the history of the film and video major. Be sure to listen to our next episode and subscribe to our podcast to hear more from our alumni as they talk about their work in different parts of the industry. Check out Alumni Live on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for more conversations, and let us know what topics you want to hear our alumni talk about. The Grand Valley State University Film and Video Alumni Network is here for you, and we're glad that you're here too. Thanks for listening.